Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath Services. Who and what controls your mind? That is the question for today. And on into the future, because little do we realize the things that are coming down. Little do we realize the magnitude of these things. So let's begin with the simple and easy to understand. Let's come to John 17. John 17. Now, the reason we're going to start here is because this tells us the basis for what we are going to cover in Scriptures today. Because the truth is, your mind is the very center of conversion. You need to understand that. So who or what controls your mind? Now let's start in John 17. Let's see what Jesus said here beginning in verse 14. Very important to understand. And think of this, that we have the Bible. And as I've said before, you better have the physical Bible, like one man with the disaster down in Southern California said, the electricity was out for a week, and I actually read the physical Bible. Take heed. Verse 14, I've given them your words. Now, what do we have with the Old and New Testament? All the words of God. Very important to realize. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world. Now, we need to focus on we are not of the world, and what does that mean in controlling our minds and in living in the world but not being a part of the world? Jesus said, just as I am not of the world. See, you are of God. Once you receive the Holy Spirit of God, you are of God, and you are called out of this world. That's why in Revelation 18 it says, come out of her, the whole Babylonian system of this world, my people. Now notice, verse 15, I do not pray that you would take them out of the world, so we have to live in it. But there are certain things we need to do to ensure that we are letting the Holy Spirit lead us so we control our thoughts. You might say, oh, why do you say that? I'm in control of my thoughts. Really? Have you gone to the mall lately where they play the Christmas carols? Remember those songs? Are they still ding-donging in your brain? Think about that one little thing then. But that you should keep them from the evil one. We are to be kept out of the grasp of Satan the devil. Now, if we don't stay close to God, guess what's going to happen? If we don't understand how to come out of the world and stay out of the world, guess what's going to happen? Why do you suppose that the message to the Laodiceans is what it is? You're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And you know not. Why does he say you know not? That because you are not controlling your mind and you do not have a proper relationship with God. So you know not that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Now, living in the world that we live in today, with everything that we have today, we need to understand the magnitude of what is being planned and worked out by Satan the devil in this world to control people, and all leading up to the magnitude of the mark of the beast. Now, I've said of the mark of the beast, and you're going to see from the things that I'm going to read here in just a little bit, it is a matter of giving up your free will and your choices if you take it. So we'll see that. And we'll see how they're working on methods to control people so that they can bring in the one world government. Now, as I have said, and you watch it, the first thing they need to do is bring in a one world currency, then they can bring in a one world government. And you go back to the sermons I did late 2008, when they formed the G20, what did I say? This is the groundwork to put all central banks on the same page with the same methods, with the same requirements, and this is how then they're going to control the whole economics of the world, and when they collapse it, it will be a phenomenal worldwide collapse. Now, if you don't believe that, analyze what's happened in Europe. Did they have to change everything to get in conformity with what? The G20. And remember, George W. Bush had that plan all ready to go. As soon as the market went down in 2008, that guaranteed the election of Barack Hussein Obama, he had a meeting, called all the bankers in the world, had them come to Washington, D.C., and they gave them the first drafts already prepared for the coming one world banking system. Because after all, we can't have economic collapses like this. We've all got to have the same regulations. Well, if you all have the same regulations, what is that going to lead to? The same currency. All right, so we're not to be of the world. Now, here's the key. You analyze this with your life. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is the truth. And the only way you can overcome the deceptiveness of the human nature, which we still have, is to constantly be studying and living by the truth. So then he says, they send us out into the world and do sanctify them. Let's come here to 1 John, the second chapter. Let's see something that we need to understand here. Let's see how we can live in the world but not be of the world. So 1 John, the second chapter, tells us, okay? 1 John 2. Do not love the world. Well, God has the capacity to love the world in spite of itself, not us. Now notice, nor the things that are in the world. And don't we today have more things in the world, from the world, of the world? Yes, we do. And a lot of these things we take for granted. And a lot of them, just like everything else, there is a good use, there's a bad use. There's a right use, there's a wrong use. There's a righteous use, there's an evil use. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, since we're here around the Christmas season, let's bring this up again. When the church in Southern California finally apostatized to the point that they sanctioned eating unclean meats, the supposed brethren lined up in droves to go out and have all the unclean foods that afternoon at the Red Lobster. When it came time later to shift over to Sunday, so many people said, oh, well, this is really good. The Sabbath has really been a burden. So they went right along. When it came time, well, you really don't have to keep the holy days. And, you know, there's really nothing wrong with Christmas. After all, it says of the Christmas tree, it can't do good or can't do evil. And there were people who said, oh, we're so glad we can have Christmas again. I really missed that. And like one woman I knew, when she found out that some Christmas carols were really not against God, which some of them are not. Being a piano player, she immediately sprung to the piano, sat down, and started playing him by memory. Who controls your mind? What controls your mind? What do you really believe? What is your actual faith? Now, notice what we need to understand here. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And what is the first commandment, first and great commandment? Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being. That is the number one safeguard to not get trapped into this world. Remember what happened at the church of Ephesus? Remember that? They were commended for their works. They were commended because they tested the apostles, whether they were true or false. They were commended because they hated the works of the Nicolaitans. Yet, what happened to them? They lost their first love. They lost the love of the Father and Jesus Christ. And so what did Jesus tell them? Now remember, the letters to the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3 are direct letters from Jesus Christ to his churches. And so we need to read those and understand those and see what happens. Because you see, if you use your free will to choose evil, and if through the circumstances you do not change and repent, then more will come. That's just the way that it is. And we will see that human beings have been made by God in a way that if we give ourselves to God, we'll grow and overcome. But if we give ourselves to the world and Satan, the devil, we'll go into the depths of evil. Remember what Jesus said to the church at Thyatira? As many as have not known the depths of Satan, speaking to his own church. So where are we today? Now here's the great thing that is, and magnified how many more times today than at any time in the history of the world. Because everything that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pretentious pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. Now you think of all the devices that we have, media devices, musical devices. How does Satan use those? Do you know that? Do you understand how these things can be used to control you? Why is it that when you're listening to a certain ad, something really grates against your feelings? Why is that? Because it is so deceptive that you actually pick up on the fact that it is deceptive. Same way with music. You ever gone in a store and they're playing all of this music? You know, why do they have to have music at every store? They have it to keep everybody in line. You see, it's from the world. But you need to understand this. And the world and its lust is passing away, but the one who does the will of the Father abides forever. So what is the will of the Father? Now that ties right in. Here, just hold your place here and come back to Matthew 7. Let's see how the Bible agrees with itself over and over and over again because it is the truth. Now, I know I got a letter from someone who said, well, they told him that Fred Coulter is so evil that he even wrote his own Bible. Really? See? Not so. Verse 21, Matthew 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Just because you keep the Sabbath and you keep the holy days and you have a nice warm relationship with the brethren, but you don't have one with God, do you think you're going to enter into the kingdom of God? How many of us have asked the question, what is my dangerous comfort zone? You need to find out. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who is doing the will of my Father who is in heaven. What does it say back here? Verse 17. 1 John 2. But the one who does the will of God abides forever. Now today, Satan is working like he has never worked before. Go back here to Ephesians 2 and verse 1, because this becomes very important for you to understand. And we're so accustomed to all the things that we have, all the electronics, all the convenience, you know. Some people, when the electricity went off, actually talked to one another because the television wouldn't work. Try it, you'll like it. All right, Ephesians 2. Now you were dead in trespasses and sins, regardless of how good a person you may have thought yourself to be. See, this is what is so deceptive concerning Protestantism. They have a counterfeit that looks so good. It feels so good. It sounds so good. You read certain scriptures. See, because Satan is there to give you benefit. He wants you to have a benefit. In which you walked in times past according to the course of this world. So we're called out of the world. According to the prince of the power of the air. Now that is Satan the devil. Now notice this next sentence here. The spirit that is now working within the children of disobedience. So let's ask another question. How much room do you give in your mind for Satan the devil? Oh, well, I don't do that. Really? We'll read some information here in a little bit and we'll find out. Okay? Have you ever gone along in some thought? Sometimes it's even a good thought because Satan wants you to do something good that is actually sin. Witness everything that they have concerning Christmas. Look at the ads. Oh, you buy a gift for your children. You buy gifts for your husband, for your wife. And, the greatest gift to give is a Mercedes-Benz with a big ribbon on the top of it, you know. Question, was it paid for? Or now it is, they're down to the smaller ones, giving tools to husband and daddy. Okay? All of that is in the guise of good. Is it good to give a gift? Of course it's good to give a gift. Nothing wrong with giving a gift. But why is everyone going along with the whole system? Because there is pleasure in sin for a season. And Satan gives you what look like temporary benefits. Why? If you quit keeping the Sabbath, you could earn time and a half. And wouldn't that help your family? So what happened before they went to Sunday? Isn't that what the message was? In order to provide for your family, if you have to work on the Sabbath, God understands. Where did that come from? And believe me, it's going to happen again. And believe me, if you go to churches where the messages are really not scriptural and they're milk toast with lukewarm skim milk, and everybody's happy, 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 where the ministry says that people come to church because they want relief from the world. That's not why we have church. We have church to learn of God's way. Be careful. Satan's clever counterfeit is going to come. And maybe you have already been set up for it. We'll cover that in just a little bit. So remember that there are fiery darts or missiles that Satan sends our way to put thoughts into our minds, and I want you to stop and think how many electronic helpers he has to do it. Think for a minute. Now notice, here's what we should look at it this way. Verse 3, among whom also we all once had our conduct in the lust of the flesh and doing the things willed by the flesh and by the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as the rest of the world. Now, doesn't that agree completely with 1 John 2:15 and 16? Absolutely. All right. Let's go here to Revelation 18, since it's the so-called Christmas season. Of course, you know, it's good to lie to your children to do good. Try that with your boss if you steal some money. I'm just trying to do good. Try that like the latest one who wanted perhaps one of the most visibly corrupt people in the world today, who caused MF Global to go bankrupt, who didn't know where $1.3 million went. I just don't know. I'll tell you where it went. Proverbs says, if you get wealth improperly, it will go to money heaven. It'll fly away to heaven. In other words, it was something that wasn't there. Oh, but people lost their retirement. Yes, indeed. All right. Matthew 18. Not Matthew, beg your pardon. Correction, thank you. See, I got an early reaction on that one. Revelation 18. Okay, that's the way to do it because sometimes I have my mind on something else at the same time. All right. Verse 1. And after these things I saw an angel descending from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a habitation of demons and a prison of every unclean spirit and the prison of every unclean and hated bird. Because all nations, now you might want to circle all. See, at the end time, we're talking about vast things that are going to happen globally. That's why they couldn't understand the book of Revelation until the age that we're living in now. All nations have drunk of the wine of the fury of her fornication. So that's every inhabitant. Now, while you're watching the news over the, since Christmas is on Sunday, watch the news and see how many different nations of the world, though they're not Christian, keep Christmas. Because it's a good thing to do. So they say. Okay? And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. Why do you think that all governments are so messed up? Because they're following Satan the devil. They're not following God. How can you get honest politicians when they're dedicated to deceit? And if someone is going to be really, really, really honest, can they get elected? Look at two of them running for president in the Republican Party. The two that have more decency and understanding than all the rest of them, Michelle Bachmann and Jim Santorum. When they tell the truth, it doesn't matter how many people they see and talk to, people can't handle the truth because they've got to have their little old lies that they keep. Now, just think how a politician would be able to have success if he said, listen, when I become president, first thing we're going to do is have a week of prayer and fasting and repentance. And we're all going to quit going to church on Sunday, and we're going to keep the Sabbath, and we are going to outlaw Christmas and outlaw Easter and get rid of all of these things, see? Because this is what it's talking about here, Revelation 18. Now notice, and the merchants of the earth became rich through the power of her luxury. Have you ever heard of the day Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving? You know why they call it Black Friday? Because that starts the profit for the year for the majority of companies in the world. because they depend on the Christmas shopping season. They depend on the Halloween shopping season, which now is running neck and neck with Christmas. And they depend on the Easter season. Where does all of it come from? From Satan the devil. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, so that you do not partake in her sins. How many sins of the world do we partake in? Remember the prince of the power of the air with all of his electronic helpers. Lots and lots and lots of them. Have you watched those lately? How many computer games do you play? What are they? Death and destruction. Do not partake in her sins, and that you do not receive her plagues. For her sins have reached as far as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. All right, time is going to come. So who controls your mind? Who or what? Now, I've got a report here. Now, I'm going to retitle this. It is the Super Establishment Elite Mind Control Plan. The Super Establishment Elite Mind Control Plan. Now, if you want to know who they are, you go back and you look up the sermon that I did on the stealth revolution in government and religion. Because, you see, there are people who worship Satan the devil, who knowingly serve him, and he is the one to whom he gives the power to control the world. Now remember what I've given on transhumanism and how that's coming. All right? Obviously, all of us are not going to be involved in any transhumanism, that's for sure. But they have plans for the rest of the people. What are they? So here's the headline. Media theme saturates and gets millions, sometimes billions, as with Avatar, and especially pirates. Now, Avatar's transhumanism. Pirates is put out by whom? Walt Disney. Oh, Walt Disney does nice things for the children. Yes, he introduces them to witchcraft. He introduces them to fantasies. He introduces them to violence. He introduces them to sex. And by the way, they have the gay Pride Day at Walt Disney Center in Florida. So guess what else they teach? Question. Do you have children? Question. Do you let them watch a lot of television? Question. Do you let them watch Disneyland things? Question. Do you buy them movies so they can watch? Question. When you strap them into the back seats and you have your little turned-down movies that they watch, what are they watching? What's going into their, as Rush Limbaugh says, skulls full of mush? What's programming their brains? What's being done? All right. They're saturating billions of people and they're thinking the same thoughts, memorizing the same imagery, asking the same questions, and ingesting new ideas at the same time. See, even though the pieces, the precise neural arrangement of each individual's brain is unique, and each mind is unique, neural firing patterns are predictable. Now, what are they saying with this? Human minds function the way that God made them to function, and they have discovered how they work. So the super establishment elite have the means to introduce thoughts, to influence nighttime dreams, to produce visual projections seemingly in real time-space. Isn't that something? Now, I remember, and this is the last of the ones that I went to see was Star Wars. And I remember at the big church in Pasadena when everyone went out to Star Wars. Oh, I have to back up. First, they had Mary Poppins. Oh, Mary Poppins is a nice movie. And everyone at church was saying, wow, what a wonderful movie, how innocent that was, the songs, the dancing, and everything. But what was it based upon? Witchcraft. Teaching kids to clean up their rooms by witchcraft, which then introduces them to what? Demons. And so when I mentioned that, you're just a stick in the mud. Well, what does God say about witchcraft? Are there good witches? Do good witches work for God? Can there be any such thing as good witchcraft? Oh, well, we can handle that. Yes, but can your children? What does it say? Come out of the world, my people. Well, what are we going to entertain our children with? Well, that's up to you to figure out. All right? What are they going to say to all of their friends? You know, like they have the ad to sell a Mercedes-Benz. They have a little kid dressed up in Darth Vader, see? And this is I mentioned before, back to Star Wars. Well, at this same large church in Southern California, they had 1,200 twice a day come there for services. When Star Wars came out, what did they do? Even the ministers went around and said, let the force be with you. Who is the force? Satan the devil. Okay. And remember that ugly little pointed-eared midget Yoda? Supposed to have the one to have mind control to move objects and lift jet planes out of the muck and give you control so you can go kill and destroy. Oh, but that was for good. So again, I was taken to task, even by my own kids. All right. They have sponsored brain pattern science because the ability to produce a controlling mental signal is the final key. And what have I said concerning the mark of the beast? It is going to be so they can control you. They're working on it. Overtime, triple time, quadruple time, magnified by different laboratories and universities around the world. Now, we'll look at the mark of the beast here in just a little bit, because in order to bring in a one-world government, the question is, how do you control the people? I mean, look at all of the Arab nations are exactly like the Bible describes them. Arab and Esau, hand against everyone, against his brother, wild, unpredictable. How are you going to control them? All right. The operating principle of this mind control technology is that there does exist a sixth sense, the electromagnetic brain field that everyone has. Your brain is electromagnetic. That's how it works. That's how you have thoughts. Plus, you have the spirit of man. And if you're really converted, you have united with the spirit of man that you have, the spirit of God, and for a great purpose. So once again, you may want to read about the Laodiceans, because you may not be using your mind the way that you should be, and now is the time to wake up and understand what you need to do. The scientific assessment is that this field is responsive. Therefore, control is possible. Wouldn't it be nice? No riots. Wouldn't it be nice? No wars. We'll just control everybody's minds. But we will have war on demand when we want it. All we have to do is press the response. This mind control technology is capable not only of reading thoughts of all types with absolute precision, but of using predictable neural firing patterns, which is resonance, as a point of delivery. Now, we all have radios. Bing, you turn them on. How does the sound come to you? Well, there's an electromagnetic field for that particular numbered station, and there are how many in the world? And you turn it on, and you receive the electronic impulse into the machine, and the machine conveys it to you. So you listen to it. When you listen to it, what are you doing? You are responding to it, just like the radio mechanical thing, or television, or iPad, iPod, whatever digital device you have responds to its electronic wave coming in. So likewise, when you are looking at it, you are responding to it with your own electronic receivers, your mind, and you need to understand what can happen. Well, we'll go ahead and take a little break. We'll come back.